Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Joining me in studio this morning, some of our friends from Concordia Historical Institute. And good to have you all here in studio. Joining me, Dr. Dan Harmelink, Executive Director. Dan, welcome back.
It's great to be back. It's a little different here being in the morning instead of the afternoon rush hour. But it's great to be here, Andy.
And you're nice and awake and alert. So, next time you come in for Reformation rush hour, I guess you'll probably be tired, huh?
That'll be early later today, so... Yeah.
Well, thank you for doing double duty today. Also joining us in studio today, Rebecca Wells. She's the museum curator with Concordia Historical Institute. Rebecca, thanks so much for coming in and spending some time with us today.
Thanks for having us.
And tell us about your work at Concordia Historical Institute.
Well, I'm the museum registrar, so I'm in charge of the artifacts. I work under the museum manager, and I also work on exhibits. I handle research as far as the artifacts, because periodically we get research requests about artifacts, and then I work on designing exhibits with the museum committee.
Tell us about your background before you came to Concordia Historical Institute.
Well, I'm born and raised in St. Louis, product of Lutheran schools my entire life. Even went to River Forest, now Concordia, Chicago.
You can't say River Forest anymore.
I know.
I can, because I graduated from both Concordia University River Forest and Concordia University Chicago.
Well, I graduated from Concordia University River Forest. And then I went to University of Missouri St. Louis here for a master's degree in history and museum studies.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and then I found a fit so I can serve the church and serve God, but do my passion of museums.
Isn't it neat when you find that place where you can serve that's kind of a marriage of all your interests and your education and your experience?
Yes, definitely.
It's neat to get to do that. Mm-hmm. So now you're serving at Concordia Historical Institute, and you get to put together exhibits, design exhibits, and do research as well. Tell us some about some of the interesting research assignments that you've worked on.
Oh, goodness.
What's
where
been
to start?
Yeah. I don't know. A lot of times we I don't handle the regular research requests generally, but if it's artifact based or if it's dealing with an exhibit, and that's really where the research really gets, because you can really delve into a subject. I know when working on the Papua New Guinea exhibit, just learning about the church workers, it's so inspiring to learn about what other people have done and how people have brought other people to Christ. That's wonderful, getting to see and experience through primary source material and seeing artifacts that were brought back and things like that. So,
Dr. Harmelink, tell us, exhibits are an important part of the Concordia Historical Institute. Exhibits are one part of it. What all makes up Concordia Historical Institute? I want to talk about this new exhibit here in just a moment, but sure. I want everybody to understand what is Concordia Historical Institute and where.
When you talk about the history of the church or the history of the Lutheran Church, there are plenty of touchstones. This is what I talked about at this rededication service we had at Hill of Peace down in Perry County Sunday, is that there's these touchstones of history, right? And when Rebecca works with the artifacts, she actually gets to touch these things that God has used or the gospel's been associated with. So Concordia Historical Institute, we want to approach history on a variety of levels, right? So there are these old documents, the first constitution of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, letters of C.F.W. Walther. There's this rumor that we have his socks, so we haven't found those yet. But in addition to the documents, there are publications, artifacts, fine art, all of this. So, for example, in this Papua New Guinea exhibit, we want to approach or we want to give people a variety of ways to see and to understand better God's hand in the history of the church. And that includes exhibits, that includes these paintings, that includes quotes from missionaries, documents, all of these things. So especially for children, I was a graphic artist before I became a pastor. So for me, the right brain and the left brain, both of those should be inspired by by the work of Concordia Historical Institute.
When we talk about artifacts, what role do artifacts play in our history? They're not what some churches might call relics.
Yeah, relics. Some people would think relics, that's a negative term, right? But they are. I mean, again, they're touchstones. And I think that the prayer for this exhibit is that maybe it's an entry point into, okay, now I want to read more history. Now I want to read more journals of the missionaries, this kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So I think for people that maybe they don't know a lot about the history of the church or the history of the Lutheran church in America, these exhibits kind of pique their interest and say, I want to, that gives them the hunger to know more. And for some people, they just go right to the book. Other people, it's like, oh, I want to be inspired by these mm-hmm. things, right? So we don't worship them. They're not holy things, but they are important.
What, Rebecca, what prompts an exhibit? Tell us about the process that's behind, you know, deciding what's going to be the next exhibit. What all goes into that?
Sure. Well, sometimes we've taken the approach of what anniversaries are coming up, mm-hmm. Such as a few of our previous exhibits, you know, when it was FCD Winneken's 200th anniversary of his birth, or CFW Walther's. So that geared developing an exhibit. This one was inspired by a collection we received in 2011 from Robert and Lois Cranky of 40 paintings, but 37 were by Robert Cranky, who was a missionary in Papua New Guinea. And we really were inspired by these paintings of their cultural paintings of the people that the missionaries worked with. And so it was something that we thought we could develop into exhibit. And we have a huge collection of Papua New Guinea artifacts that missionaries have sent us through the years. So it just all mm-hmm. came together to form this exhibit.
And what is the name of this exhibit?
Bringing Christ to the Highlands, painting a portrait of early Lutheran mission work in Papua New Guinea.
And so you had this collection of paintings and other artifacts from mm-hmm. missionaries who had served in Papua New Guinea, and put it all together, and it tells the story of missionaries and bringing Christ to Papua New Guinea.
Yes. One of the important pieces that we decided to do with this exhibit was to send a questionnaire to a number of former and current missionaries in Papua New Guinea. International Missions helped us mm-hmm. contact people, as well as the Papua New Guinea Mission Society. And we received around 20 questionnaires back, and they were wonderful. You really saw through their words the missionary hearts of the former missionaries, and the missionary zeal has not left them since they've been back. And, mm-hmm. and it was wonderful. And that's really the lifeblood to tell the mm-hmm. the story of how Christ and God worked in Papua New Guinea.
As you started bringing these pieces together, as you started receiving the pieces or seeing the pieces, did you start seeing links between them? Did you start seeing the connections, and how did you put it all together?
Oh, definitely. Well, we have, like, I'll give an example. Otto Hensi, he was one of the first two missionaries to go to Papua New Guinea in 1948. And in his questionnaire, he wrote about the net bags. The net bags, we have a number of in our collection, and this is what the women would have used to carry sweet potatoes. That was a major crop and a major part of their diet. To carry them from the garden to their homes and things. And they carried their mm-hmm. Babies in them as well. And so we have a number of them in our collection. And then he wrote about a story of them putting the net bag on a cross at one point in time, and symbolizing how Christ carried our burdens, our sins mm-hmm. for them. And just as they use the net bag. So, you know, that connected, a quote connected with mm-hmm. one of our artifacts.
I'm sure that's just fascinating to be one of the people that gets to read through that stuff first and get to see the artifacts.
Definitely.
And start to see those links and those connections and put it all together. Mm-hmm. So is there a net bag in the collection?
Definitely. Several. There's several in the exhibit.
And they're all, each one is different. So mm-hmm. That would be great. And again, we received some of these idols, these objects of worship that the people of Papua New Guinea, devoted themselves to before hearing the gospel. So there's a great story about that, too.
Yes.
Some of these idols have not been on public display ever.
Hmm.
And this is a great opportunity. If you ever wondered, okay, what did people make? You know, what did people worship before hearing the gospel? This is a great opportunity to come and see that. But anyway, the story's fantastic.
Right. So we have a number of idols from a donor, actually they're on loan, from a private collection, Reverend Harvey Kath. And he also wrote us the story that went along with these idols, that their culture was a culture of ancestor in mm-hmm. worship and very fearful culture spiritually. And they would have the idols, they would maybe put them, in this case, he told the story of they had done a ceremony and taken a pig, which was part of their, which was a very high price. They traded mm-hmm. pigs and things and sacrificed a pig, put the meat in at the base of a tree, mm-hmm. hollow of a tree with the idols, and then they left it. Well, and then the, pig would be decomposed and they would think that the idol ate it and they were happy that the ancestor ate it and would be happy and care for them. So when on the day of this clan's baptism, because that was an important piece, they would do a whole clan baptism together. So it wasn't a single person that could fall away more easily. So the clan, the head of the clan, of the tribe, they went to the base of the tree, took Reverend Kath, and they explained the ceremony, pulled out three different idols and said, gave them to him and said, we don't need these anymore. And that's just such a powerful, powerful story and inspirational, anyone, I think.
Absolutely.
So you can come and see these mm-hmm. pieces of stone that are basically, we have no use for these anymore. It's fantastic, you know? So.
Wow. Well, when one comes into the Concordia Historical Institute, it's not just about seeing things, you hear things. There's just this a full experience to be immersed in history and to learn about our church and our church's past and the work of God's people and how God worked through his people. One of the things that you experience when you walk into Concordia Historical Institute is something you hear, right? Is that right? You brought a selection with us this morning.
We're not burning incense, but we do have the music of the Christians. I think this is a seminary choir. Is that correct?
Yes, yes. From the 1980s, I believe, and they were called the Makers Singers, and they toured, and it's based on Native music, but with Christian words to it.
Interesting. Very good. We'll take a listen, and we'll be back right after this, right here on Worldwide KFUO.
Belong me, love. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, on behalf of Concordia Plan Services, Lutheran Church Extension Fund, the LCMS Foundation, Lutheran Housing Support Corporation, Concordia University System, and Corporate Synod, daily reaches out to our members and partners, working together to support our local, global, and international ministries, church workers, and LCMS initiatives at large to carry the mission forward and to serve each other in love. Opportunities to serve, lcms.org/jobsboard.
338!
Protect yourself and those around you by getting your flu vaccine. It is your best defense against the flu. Annual vaccination against flu is recommended for all people 6 months of age and older, unless they have a condition or medical reason not to get the vaccine. Stay in the game, get vaccinated, and help us tackle the flu.
To find a flu vaccine clinic near you, go to mo.gov and click on the flu vaccine locator. This message is brought to you by the Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services.
Hey, Pastor Craig D'Onofrio here. We're getting close to Reformation Day, but did you know that Mondays through Fridays are always Reformation Days? That's right. Reformation Rush Hour is Monday through Friday. Join me at 5 p.m. Central and enjoy our fascinating guests on Worldwide KFUO. All treats, no tricks. KFUO.org or in the St. Louis area, AM 850 KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Facebook is one of the biggest social media instruments for checking out what is going on with Worldwide KFUO. On our Facebook page, facebook.com/KFUO radio, you'll see us posting pictures, online videos, show information, as well as reviews and previews of events at KFUO. Worldwide KFUO, we are where you are, on Facebook at facebook.com/KFUO radio. The worldwide leader of confessional Lutheranism, Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. We are talking with our friends from Concordia Historical Institute this morning. We're talking with Dr. Daniel Harmelink, Executive Director of Concordia Historical Institute, and Rebecca Wells. She's the Museum Curator at CHI. And we've been talking about the Papua New Guinea exhibit called Bringing Christ to the Highlands, Painting a Portrait of Early Lutheran Mission Work in Papua New Guinea. And Rebecca, you've done a nice job, I think, for painting a picture in my mind. And obviously, I have the catalog here, which I think this is a piece that we should share with, we should tell our listeners about, because it really does a nice job. What you've shared with us, you know, verbally paints a nice picture in my mind, but this catalog does a great job, too, of giving folks an idea of what's in the exhibit.
Right. The catalog is a really nice piece for people that see the exhibit and want to bring part of it home, or for people that may not be able to come to St. Louis and travel here to see the exhibit, but would like to experience some of it. So it has 36 of the paintings. It's not 37 because two of them are duplicate images, but they're great, and it has the text about the paintings, and then it has about 50 artifacts that are in the exhibit. So there's more in the exhibit, but it's great, and it has some of the missionary quotes and things. So it's a really great piece, and it's for sale in our lobby shop at CHI for $10.
It's the images in here, the photography, everything is just outstanding. And it really does kind of give you a virtual experience of what's at the Institute. But I'm sure there's so much more. And, right. And to see it face to, you know, in person is an even better experience.
Yes.
If possible, come down and see the exhibit. It'll be going on for the next several months. But again, don't put it on your bucket list, put it on your short list, and come down and see it before you get down there. And then we have to say, sorry, it closed last week.
Well, tell us about, you know, what are things we need to think about to make a trip, make, you know, plan a visit to Concordia Historical Institute?
Well, our hours are 8:30 to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday. So to visit, you need to come during the week. You can see the seminary and our institute, and you can get a behind-the-scenes tour if you would like, if you arrange that ahead of time. And then you definitely also want to come to the Synod headquarters here to see our museum here, which covers Luther, the Reformation, and then the history of the Synod.
So there are multiple sites to visit when it comes to Concordia Historical Institute.
Yes.
What are all the locations? What are all the sites for CHI?
Oh, we need about a half an hour. So there's the CHI, the offices and the Papua New Guinea exhibit. We're on the campus of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. So we're in Clayton. Mm-hmm. Right. And then there's the museum, the Reformation and the history of the LCMS Museum here at the International Center in Kirkwood. So we also own the Saxon Lutheran Memorial and also the Hill of Peace in Friedenburg. Both of those are in Perry County. Outside of St. Louis. So, for example, we just had the big fall festival, the big event at Saxon mm-hmm. Lutheran Memorial last weekend. That went swimmingly, and we just did... No pun intended. And we also rededicated the parish hall at the Hill of Peace Lutheran Church in Friedenburg. And again, both of these sites you can... have a experience of seeing this living history of the beginnings of Synod.
So if you're outside the St. Louis area, this could be a great family trip or a field trip for schools to come check out all the sites. There are multiple places, sites to see. Fall is a great time to do that, especially if you're heading down to Saxon Lutheran Memorial. And
then again, we're going to go live on a completely redesigned CHI website at the end of this month. It'll be smartphone compatible and everything. So I look forward to that. You know, put your CHI bookmark on your on your web browser. We're also pleased to announce that our journal, Concordia Historical Institute Quarterly, we've completely redone the layout. It looks better. It's more engaging.
Said the graphic designer.
And we talked about River Forest, right? So this whole issue of the fall issue of CHIQ is devoted to the 150th anniversary of Concordia University, Chicago. So check that out. Also,
you mentioned the website. What are some things that when the new website is launched? What are some things we would find on the website?
Well, it's much more graphic, right? We have more photographs, more pictures, and things like that. But the search capabilities are enhanced also. So you can search through the holdings of CHI much quicker. It's much easier, and I think it's again. People think if you're not on the website, you don't exist, right? So we're trying to put more and more resources on the internet so that we can truly reach as many people as possible.
Well, go ahead.
And then regarding the exhibit, we in the next few months, we should be putting portions of maybe featuring, mm-hmm. We plan to feature maybe a painting mm-hmm. a month, possibly an artifact, things of that nature. So there will be another tie-in to the exhibit. And later this year, before the 250th anniversary of St. Louis is completely done, we are working on an online exhibit of 250 St. Louis County and City Lutheran sites, and that will be an online exhibit. That
Neat.
Will be November, December, so look for that.
You're going to be busy. I mean, you are already probably busy, but 250 St. Louis Lutheran sites, that's got to be quite a project.
So feel free to subscribe to, for example, we have Pieces of Our Past. This comes out twice a month. Mm-hmm. Correct. And we have almost 1,000 subscribers to this. So you can subscribe, and every 2 weeks you see an artifact in the history of how God used this or how this is connected with God's redeeming work. Twice a month, right?
Yeah. Every other week I feature an artifact, a document, mm-hmm. Fine art, something of that nature, and then work on that. I think I'm already forgetting what last week's was, but you can also see our website to see past pieces of our past. There's mm-hmm. over 50 of them.
And the website would be, what's the web address?
ConcordiaHistoricalInstitute.org.
That's pretty easy to remember. ConcordiaHistoricalInstitute.org. And I want to thank you both for being my guest this morning here in His Time. Dr. Daniel Harmelink, Executive Director of Concordia Historical Institute. Dan, thanks so much for being our guest today.
It's a pleasure.
And Rebecca Wells, Museum Curator at Concordia Historical Institute. Thanks for coming over and spending some time with us this morning. It's been fun to get to talk with you all, and can't wait to see the exhibit. The catalog alone is just magnificent. Coming up in just a little bit, we've got our study of the Daily New Testament. Stick around with us for that. We study with Pastor Mark Latham from St. John Lutheran Church in Buell, Idaho. Coming up next right here on Worldwide KFUO.